In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Many folks are familiar with that great Christian author, C.S. Lewis. I don't know how many of us have read some of his great works. Wonderful works that he wrote after his dramatic conversion from atheistic nihilism that he had earlier in his life to become a great and fervent Christian writer. Some of those works we may know if we've read them as Mere Christianity, the Screwtape Letters, the Chronicles of Narnia, but there were also some lesser known works that he wrote as well. They were called the Science Fiction Trilogy, and in them there is a hero by the name of Elwin Ransom, and he is trying to explain to these outer space beings some theological language, especially what sin is. And so, Elwin settles on the word bent to describe sin. By bent, C.S. Lewis, of course, meant misshapen, not the way we were created to be, not fit for our intended purpose as God gave it. Bent. We are all bent. Think of the woman this morning in the gospel. She had been bent over for 18 years, the gospel says, in this physical affliction. But that is, of course, representative not only of bentness physically, but more importantly, spiritual bentness. That is what death coming into this world has brought. The spiritual afflictions we face are the shadow of the deeper affliction of sin, of that bentness. In Luke's telling of this story, the woman is not only bent over, it is said she is bound. She has been bound demonically for 18 years. In fact, if you look at the verses of Luke 13, just before this story, I find it very interesting. Luke, of course, is, as we know, the great physician. And so he likes to talk a lot in terms of sickness, illness, to point out the spiritual afflictions that ail us. Just before this text this morning, very interestingly, the Jews and he were having this discussion about affliction. Listen to these words. This is just before the bent over woman. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the others because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will perish." And after this discussion, he goes in to talk about this bent woman. You see, the Jews had this understanding, rather false misunderstanding, if you will, of illness and of sickness and of being bent over. And that was that if you were sick, if you were afflicted, you were being punished worse by God, like this bent over woman. That's why the synagogue leader this morning had a rather calloused attitude, not only his false understanding of the law, of what God meant, but this calloused understanding toward this sick woman, because she was a greater sinner. An understanding that was partially right, however. Not that God afflicts us with our sicknesses in our body to somehow punish us, but there is truth in the fact that the afflictions we face in our lives are representative, again, of something deeper. The afflictions are because of sin. We were not sick in the garden. When God created us, He did not create us to have any disease, but to live in fullness and purity of life. And when sin came, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and gave into their passions, that is when it all opened. And death came into this world. And the sicknesses that we face every day, from the most common colds to the afflictions of mental illness to everything that we face bodily, is a result of sin, of demonic activity. Sometimes we fail to see this. And we think that all of our help is going to be found in our medical technology, in the things that we will develop. But it's interesting, as we go along and become further and further technologically advanced, there seem to be new afflictions that face us, new alterations to our DNA, new sicknesses that come. We will never outrun these afflictions because sin is the thing that is underneath that bentness, and that brokenness. And there is only one thing, one person, who will lose us, as the gospel shows. The Greek word today for Jesus' action in the gospel toward this bent woman is one of the most common verbs found in Holy Scripture. I remember as a pre-seminary student studying this term, this word, loose, to loose, luon. In the gospel this morning, the word is, or the Greek word is, apolulousai. You can hear the word loose, apolulousai. It shows up several times in this gospel, in fact, today. In verse 12, Jesus sets the woman free. He looses her. In verse 15, he reminds his critics that they also loose their cattle on the Sabbath day because they want to take care of them. And in verse 16, again reminds us that he has just loosed or freed this woman from her bond. In the Gospel of St. John, we may remember these words. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and that truth shall eleutherosai. It shall loose you, free you," just like the bent woman. Now, of course, this whole idea of being in bondage or in slavery is very politically incorrect. They carry the baggage that we human beings who are advanced in this time and age don't want to carry. We're not in slavery to anything. That's what the Jews also said to Jesus in John chapter 8. We're not slaves to anyone. But Jesus was not politically correct when it came to addressing the serious problem of our spiritual sickness. The root of the woman's bent shape as bondage again is spiritual. And so is ours. And so it must be released by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice something just as powerful in this gospel is that the woman did not come to Jesus for healing. He sought her. He called her to himself. He set her free because he chose to free her, as he does us. In Jesus, God is doing this for all of humanity. God does not wait for us to come to him out of understanding of our bentness and misshapenness. God joins us in the depths of our possession and our bentness. St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, "While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you." God in Christ Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, takes on the full weight of our sin and experiences our brokenness, especially on the cross. In his baptism, he voluntarily took upon himself our afflictions. What does Isaiah the prophet say about our Jesus taking upon himself our bentness? In chapter 52 come these words: "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." That's the description of our Christ's suffering, our bentness. And further in chapter 53, "Surely he," that is our Savior, "took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, and he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities." That Jesus knew this woman because he came to this earth to be that woman, to be broken, to be crushed by everything that afflicts us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us and with us and with our sin. Our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ renders the demonic powers of brokenness and slavery meaningless over us, even when we are intent on holding on to our passions that break us. Then that brings us to the second part of our gospel today, this speaking about the Sabbath day. Isn't it ironic? The Sabbath day, the day of rest. And the ruler of the synagogue is indignant, saying, "You're not going to heal on the Sabbath day. That's a work. Come back on one of the other 6 days of the week. This is a more holy day than to be doing something like this." Isn't that ironic? And Jesus says to them, "You hypocrites, what are you saying? The Sabbath day, on the Sabbath day, you go out to your barn and you loose your cattle so they can have a drink. And here is a woman who has suffered for 18 years. And on the Sabbath day, you will not allow her to be healed? What's the Sabbath for?" Jesus said, "The Sabbath is not for God. The Sabbath was not made as a rule-keeping entity that enslaves us, as the law. It is gospel. It is rest." Let's think about the Sabbath. And if I can borrow the resurrection, does it come off? I've never taken them off the wall. But do we remember in our liturgical services what Holy Saturday is? Holy Saturday is the culmination of the Great Sabbath. And what happened on that day? St. Peter tells us that on the Sabbath, the Great Sabbath, on the Holy Saturday, after Jesus had suffered on the cross for us, this is what happened. He, Jesus, who was put to death in the body but made alive in the spirit, through whom also he went and he preached to the prisoners, to the spirits in prison, in Hades. And what did he preach to them? That they're free. The word, again, is loosed, just like this woman. And that's why we have this wonderful and powerful icon of the resurrection that ties in with that preaching. Because what had happened to Adam and Eve, what had happened to the ancestors, we're going to talk about the ancestors next week as we're preparing for the coming of our Lord. What had happened? They were bound. And what does this icon tell us that Christ our Lord did in his resurrection? He broke the gates of hell. And he loosed them from their brokenness. And he looses us. And that's why we're here, Sunday after Sunday. That's what all of our liturgical services are about. This continual loosing. It starts in our baptism. Listen closely the next time you come again to a baptism. What does baptism begin with? Before we're plunged into the waters, into the death and resurrection of Christ, there are some prayers. And those prayers are prayers of exorcism. It's not just old-fashioned rhetoric. It's true. Because we know that like this woman, we are bound up by Satan. Before Christ brings us into his kingdom through baptism, we are bound. And we are going to be loosed in the death and resurrection of Christ in our baptism. And before that happens, we have those exorcism power prayers. And sometimes, you know what? You can still go back to those prayers. When Satan's afflicting you, when he's mentally torturing you, when he's torturing you in your body, when he's torturing your family or trying, you can go back to those prayers and say, "Satan, my Savior has loosed me. These prayers are against you." And when we come every week here, all of these liturgical services are of the resurrection freedom. That's why every Sunday is called a little Pascha. It is a celebration of the death and resurrection that has loosed us. And we have a great sacrament that I want to encourage you to make use of yet in this time of the Advent fast, the sacrament of confession. Because our Lord promised his church after the resurrection, he was gathered with them in the room, and he said to them, "Whatever sins you loose," same word, they're loosed. The power of the resurrection continues when your Father in Christ stands next to you and you come and you confess the sins that bother you and trouble you and that come back again and again. You're loosed. You're no longer bent over. You're straightened in Christ. And when we come, as we will again today, and receive him in his holy sacrament, that is the Christ who stands like before us at the chalice, just as he did the bent woman. And he says, "You're loosed. Straighten up. Go and exalt the Lord your God. Christ is in our midst.
Amen.